Some of the content of the Double Minor Hockey Podcast might not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
I don't know. I'm speechless. Yeah, this is just amazing.
Bonjour, Montreal. You're Jesper Kotkaniemi. I'm so excited to be drafted by Montreal. I can't wait that I can see you guys. Merci.
Feels unbelievable. I mean, it's a dream come true, and I can't really put it into words right now. I mean, I still can't believe it. Watching it as a kid growing up is just something you dream about, and to have it become a reality is so real, and yeah, it still hasn't sunk in yet.
For the city, this season means one thing: playoffs.
The vibes in the city, the buzz in the city, everyone is just so happy about that it's playoff time. Everyone's so passionate, and that trickles into our room.
The Montreal Canadiens means everything. In the playoff, the passion of our fans and the city really gets behind the Canadiens, and you could feel it.
The Canadiens win the Stanley Cup!
It's not only winning for winning, it's what it represents to the fans, the organization, the players. It means so much to the people that are supporting the Montreal Canadiens.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Season 1, Episode 39 of the Double Minor Hockey Podcast for Saturday, October 31st, 2020.
Josh Happy Halloween, everybody.
Yeah, there you go. There's the voice of my fearless co-host, Josh and Lambros, here as always talking hockey with you. So, Lambros, let's just jump right into it. But before we do that, one thing I've been wanting to mention on the podcast for about 4 months now. No, maybe not four, but not too far off from that. And I keep forgetting. To those listeners who would be interested in doing so, Lambros and I, whenever the NHL season starts up again, we'll be creating a Double Minor Hockey Podcast Fantasy League for hockey. And we would like to open that up to our listeners as well. If you are interested, would like more information, or would just simply like to put your name in to sign up, just send the podcast a DM on Twitter at Double Minor Hockey Podcast. That's at Double Minor HP on Twitter. Just send us a DM telling us you'd be interested in joining our Hockey Fantasy League. It's going to be on Yahoo Sports, and so we're going to have some fun with it. Probably going to be a keeper league, but anyway, we're going to have some more details in the distant future when hockey does anyway stem to try to return. But I just wanted to mention that because I've been wanting to mention that for months and I keep forgetting it. So on that note, Lambros, it has been 2 weeks since you and I have recorded, mainly because we are in the absolute dead center, worst part of the NHL offseason. There's so much going on that we just can't find time to record to talk about it all, he says exactly. Sarcastically. So
my head's spinning.
Yeah, I know. So we figured we'd get together for a quick little off-season wrap-up show here. And we are going to be going on hiatus, for the next little while. We are going to be taking a break between season one and season two of the podcast until training camp start up again, and around that time. Unless, of course, something major happens in and around the world of the Montreal Canadiens, we will be back to cover that if something does happen. But if not, we will be back. Like we said, we're going to take a little bit of a break because, we've kind of gone nonstop every week almost since the beginning of February. And that was a lot.
It was, yeah.
It was especially a lot. Most of that, there wasn't any hockey going on. Mm-hmm. Let's not forget. Lambros, I don't know if you remember, but like it was just about a month and a half into the podcast that everything kind of stopped, right? And so it was just kind of like, let's keep going and see what happens. But yeah, so we're going to take a break, probably pretty much all through November and most of December. Hopefully we'll be back in and around the holidays in December to kind of tee up and prepare for training camps if things are able to start in and around January 1st, hopefully, knock on wood.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, one thing I wanted to also briefly mention to get out of the way is that, as our listeners do know, the Double Minor Hockey Podcast is proudly presented by the Belly Up Sports Network. All you simply have to do is visit bellyupsports.com for all of your sports-related content, including articles and various podcasts. Visit the Belly Up Sports Network should be your go-to for much of your sports content. Again, visit bellyupsports.com for more. So, Lambros, let's start with getting a few little things out of the way here. Recent first-round draft pick of the Montreal Canadiens, Caden Gooley signed his 3-year entry-level contract with the Montreal Canadiens and has also been named to the first roster of Team Canada for the World Juniors, the selection camp, invited to that. Thoughts on the 3-year entry-level contract? Were you surprised that it happened this quickly?
No, I think a lot of comparing to what a lot of teams are doing, especially guys who are from the CHL, the 3-year entry level contract does not affect them when they're playing in the CHL or whatever. I think that mostly affects towards guys in the NCAA, but you know what? It doesn't really bother me. It was evident that he was going to sign sooner rather than later. It's literally just something that came up for both of us that we saw, kind of just wrote it down. I'm excited. But I don't think it affects anything regarding like his development or whatnot. I think it's just a formality just to get him signed. And the moment he transitions to professional hockey, which is either the HL or NHL, I think that's when it kicks in, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, exactly. As soon as he turns pro, his years will start to that'll start counting towards contract years. But yeah, he could play all the next. I think he'd be eligible for 3 years in junior.
It's a couple of more years.
Yeah, he could play both years in junior and then turn pro, and his entry level contract would kick in.
Yeah, it's not.
So it's just basically getting the kids signed, and
I think it's mostly the kids from Europe and the NCAA where
exactly
they immediately have to play with the team or the American Hockey League affiliate.
Yeah, if they sign a contract, or there's a clause that they're allowed to go back. It gets complicated, but regardless,
right?
we're not player agents. We're also not what you're here to listen to. But yeah, Caden Gooley signs his three-year entry-level deal. Good for the team, good for him. Really looking forward to seeing him hopefully make the roster for Team Canada's World Juniors roster. I think so too, and I think that is going to put a lot of Montreal Canadiens fans at ease when it comes to that player. Because I don't know if you remember, but when we had Marco on, we talked about how some people in the fan base were not all that ecstatic about the selection. Just watch the kid play and you'll be fine with it.
I think a lot of, including myself, I think a lot of us were a bit surprised prior to what Bergevin did in free agency. I think it's kind of mellowed out a bit when it comes to what we're going to see on the ice come next season, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But yeah, it was a little bit surprising, but let's call it what it is. We said it before, he was the third ranked defenseman in the draft class. Yep. He's a very big kid. He has a pretty good offensive touch. I don't think he's going to be an offensive game breaker, but from what Marco told us, he's going to be a Brett Pesce, Colton Parayko with speed. That's pretty fantastic to have as a defenseman, regardless of how you want to look at it. It's exciting. I mean, Canadians have a few prospects. I even think there's also Jan Mysak who might play in the World Juniors for Czech Republic, who's another player to keep an eye on. I don't know about Luke Tuck, maybe him. There's Mats Norlander. The Canadians have a lot of good prospects that are going to probably play in these World Juniors, which is always, always exciting to watch because of my preference. It's just incredible skating in those games. So I'm very excited to see Caden Gooley potentially make that Team Canada roster.
Oh, absolutely. Let me ask you this. Do you think Mark Bergevin has any other additional moves before the season start up his sleeves?
I will not be surprised. I don't think it's going to be anything major. I said it to you before. I think he's still going to try and go out and get a the veteran fourth line guy, someone like Matt Martin for the fourth line, kind of a leader in the locker room, a guy who will add size to the team. I think that's another, I think like it's going to kind of connect between the two, veteran leader, but with size, who can drop the gloves if need be, someone to that effect. I can, I'm just giving Matt Martin as an example. I'm not saying they're going to target him, but he's a guy that would fit a perfect, he'd fit perfectly with the Canadians on that bottom six. But apart from that, unless he has a move up his sleeve where it involves trading away some cap, whether it's a guy like Lekkonen, whether it's a guy like Paul Byron, I don't see any substantial moves that that I'm going to sit here and say, given the fact that there's nothing really available, you know, unless you want to call Tampa for anything, but they have their own. Why would you help a division rival without getting some sort of compensation?
I'll say this: I would not be shocked to see a guy like Byron or Lekkonen moved. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be shocked to see a guy like Victor Mete or Brett Kulak moved, just to clear up some space.
But nothing too significant.
Nothing significant. I would not also, like you mentioned, I also wouldn't be surprised to see him add some veteran leadership grit for the fourth line.
Mm-hmm.
But apart from that, I think they're very happy with their roster, and they should be. Marc Bergevin has done a very good job this offseason. And those are words that I didn't really think I'd
never thought he'd utter.
I know. Just kind of wondering if this is a parallel universe we're living in. But regardless, he's had a great offseason. He addressed what he had to address. And now it's up to the players on the ice and the coaching staff. Mm-hmm. And that brings me into my next point, kind of main conversation I wanted to talk to you about tonight on the podcast. The pressure's on for Claude Julien to deliver in this upcoming season, right?
100%. I think
I will say this: if the Montreal Canadiens do not make the playoffs this year, the coach loses his job and the general manager does not.
Oh yeah. I mean, we've said it before, and we've made the argument that, you know, you can't really criticize Claude Julien for coaching the way he does, because look at the roster that he either A, he inherited, or B, what he's going into the upcoming season, given what the general manager provides to him, right? In essence, when you look at it now, Marc Bergevin, and we've said it before, this was one of the best off seasons the Montreal Canadiens have had, not only under Bergevin, but for years.
Yeah.
I actually, during our time between podcasts, I actually looked back as, not as far as I possibly can, but like in terms of recent memory, they haven't had an off season this significant since, you can mention the Shea Weber offseason where they acquired PK, where they traded Weber for Subban for Weber. They traded Andrew Shaw. They traded Lars Eller, and they brought in Alex Radulov. Like, to me, that was a very big offseason for the Montreal Canadiens. And the one that I could compare to that was when they lost. It was one year where they lost Saku Koivu, Alex Kovalev, Tange, I think Mark Streit, Mike Komisarek. They lost like an abundance of players and replaced them with guys like Camilleri, Gionta, Gomez, Hal Gill, Travis Moen, Jaroslav Spacek. You get the gist. But the one difference now that really stands out is that we've been preaching about this addition without subtraction mentality. You know, add to what you already have.
Mm-hmm.
Those two examples that I gave you in terms of off seasons, it was addition with subtraction. You know, to get Shea Weber, you had to give up a PK Subban. So you basically are replacing that position in its own right. You're not adding to that position. To get Andrew Shaw, you had to trade Lars Eller. In essence, with Alex Radulov, okay, you had him for 1 year. He left in the offseason, but you brought in Jonathan Drouin. So in essence, they were never really adding to what they already had until this year. You know, when you had Josh Anderson, Tyler Toffoli, Alex Romanoff, Joel Edmondson, Jake Allen, basically those five players, and the only player that in reality you're replacing is Max Domi, that's addition by without subtraction.
Yeah.
So when we talk about the importance of giving your coach a team that he could win with, this is one of the most complete teams the Montreal Canadiens have had in years. When you look at scoring depth, when you're looking at defensive depth, and when you're looking at goaltending tandems. And there should not be any excuse, nor should there not be any pointing of the fingers from the coach to say that I didn't get the best out of my players. You have the players to do it.
Yeah.
Score you 20 goals. Yeah. You're not relying on Paul Byron or Arturi Lekin to play top 6 minutes because someone's injured. You now have, you know, you have Tatar, Jonathan Drouin, and either Byron or Lekin on the, as your top four left wingers. That is quality depth, and it stayed that way from even last year. But look at the right side. You know, Brendan Gallagher, Joel Armia, Tyler Toffoli, Josh Anderson. Those are four quality NHL hockey players that can put you goals. Down the middle is the same thing. Yeah, Suzuki's development, Kokkinemi's development will be critical. You still got Philip Deneau to be your third line guy or whatever role he'll be playing. And to have as your fourth line a guy like Jake Evans, Ryan Poehling, the fact that a guy like Jordan Wheel, as much as we hate him, is now considered the 13th forward. That is a good position to be in if you're the Montreal Canadiens. The fact that a guy like Brett Kulak is going to be in conversation to be your sixth or seventh defenseman, that's a good conversation to have if you're the Montreal Canadiens. Not how many minutes does Wheel get? How many Wheel minutes does Brett Kulak get? So, yeah, there's a lot of pressure on this coach to get victories. There's a lot of pressure for him to have success, but Mark Bergevin put him in a position to actually succeed. That's the difference here. So if he doesn't get the best out of these players, yeah,
that's when you're looking to make a move.
That's when you look to make a move, because what else is Mark gonna do?
Do you think Claude Julien would kind of have a short leash this season?
If he can't get the best out of the players right off the bat?
In the sense that, do you think he has the entire year and they'll reassess at the end of the year if they don't make the playoffs? Or if they see like halfway through, they're not on pace to make the playoffs, they're kind of struggling, they're like, it's not like they're kind of not really hitting their strides. And Mark looks at his roster and he says, this isn't a roster that's built to do this. This is a roster that's built, we're supposed to be better than this. He would make a change right away, or is it more of an off season thing? Let the coach finish out the year and then we'll go from there.
Well, I'll look at what he did with the most previous significant off season. You know, when he brought in Weber, when he brought in Shaw, when he brought in Radulov, the Montreal Canadiens at the beginning of the season were flying that year. They had a healthy Carey Price, which helped too, but they were playing very good hockey. And then I think it was around January or February, they started to have a skid where they started to lose a lot of games, or you know, they would lose, like, let's say 3 out of 5 or something like that. And Bergevin fired Michel Therrien and replaced him with Claude Julien. So I think if you compare both teams, I think the one that they currently have on paper is a lot better in terms of production than the one that Michel Therrien had when he got fired. So when I see this, I think that, yeah, the leash is a little shorter. And it's a little bit, he's not going to have enough space or enough comfort to kind of extend towards the end of the season. I think if they don't get on the right foot starting at the beginning of the season and ride that ship and make sure that they continue playing, you know, competitive hockey and they win and they're winning their games, yeah, I think Mark Bergevin will fire Claude Julien earlier than when he fired Michel Therrien. Because he put this team together to get results now. He didn't put this team to get results next year. You know, getting Tyler Toffoli and getting Josh Anderson, you're getting two guys who are in their late 20s to compete now. Mm-hmm. Joel Edmondson, same thing. Jake Allen is a 30-year-old backup goalie. You don't get these guys to build for the cup in 5 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Claude Julien has a very short leash right now. And if he does not get the results that Mark Bergevin deems acceptable for given the roster of the team, especially if they're, knock on wood, have no issues with significant injuries, this is a team that, and we've said it before, this is a team on paper that can make a playoff run, that could make the playoffs easily.
Yeah.
Yeah, Claude Julien is on a short leash. And I would not be surprised that if the, let's say within 25, 30 games, they're toying around a 500 record, that Mark Bergevin pulls the cord on Claude Julien.
Yeah, probably.
It only makes sense.
Absolutely. I mean, you said everything that needed to be said on the topic. This team is a team that is built to win right now. Mark Bergevin has given his head coach all the tools to do so. You have to hope that everything works out well. You have to believe that Josh Anderson will return to the player that he was pre-injuries.
Mm-hmm.
And if he does, then you're really in awesome, awesome shape. Gallagher signed long-term. You got Toffoli. You're looking really, really good here. And I mean, you've got Tatar for at least this season. You are built to win right now. Yeah. You are built to make the playoffs, make some noise in the playoffs, and then you never know what might happen in the playoffs.
Of course, yeah.
I look at it, if this team goes on a skid, like if this team, especially that the season is going to be shorter, right? You're not going to get 82 games this year.
Mm-hmm.
If this team goes on a 5-7 game skid, like we've seen them do under Claude Julien, then the general manager needs to really reassess the situation potentially and look at making a change, because at this point it's no longer going to be, well, look at what he's coaching. Now it's going to be, no, look at what he's coaching.
Yeah. Cause listen, he did everything he needed to do. Look, could he have done things better? Maybe.
When you're forced to play Paul Byron in a top six role because you have nobody else to play it, like you can only ask so much out of your head coach, right?
Of course. You're absolutely right.
But when Paul Byron we're struggling to find a role, a spot for him on the lineup, and if this team still struggles to win, and I'm not saying that that's what's going to happen. I'm just saying that the pressure is on Claude Julien this upcoming season.
Yeah.
And he's going to need to deliver.
Well, yeah.
Otherwise, he will be out of a job. And I will say this. I think he would have a hard time finding another one as a head coach.
Maybe, yeah. You can make an argument for that. But I think when we're talking about the Montreal Canadiens in general, it's Bergevin did everything he can in terms of he took advantage of signing his two most important free agents next year to contract extensions. He used all of his cap space, basically, to address the team for now. What else do you want him to do? And that's the part where a lot of people.
And every player he added was an upgrade on what he had.
Oh, of course.
That's all you need to know.
You know, you look at that top nine now, and you can say, okay, when you look at it depth wise, when was the last time we've seen a team like that?
Yeah.
Where each line has the potential of having a 25-30 goal scorer.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of it. So there shouldn't be any excuses. There shouldn't be any critique on Mark Bergevin. He went out and spent his money.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't work out, you can't blame the GM for not trying. You can't You have to look at the coaching. You have to look at the schemes. You have to look at all that shit. When I've said it to you before, Tyler Toffoli, Josh Anderson are not here to play defensive minutes. They're not here to play penalty kill. They're not here to back check or to do all that, those defensive styles. You want a defensive game? Fine. Put them with a defensive player. You Philip Deneau, Nick Suzuki, Arturi Lehkonen, Paul Byron, those are your guys. Jake Evans, those are your guys. Jake Evans, your top two lines in particular are there to score you goals. Just because one of them is not back-checking as hard as you want them to. Even the three lines, but in essence, we'll do the top six because, I mean, that known line, it's like you have two guys right there that are pretty good defensive hockey players in Gallagher and Deneau. But in essence, the top two lines, the breadth of the score, just because one of them doesn't back skate as good as you thought, as good as you want him to, doesn't mean you have to bench him.
Mm-hmm.
Your defense got better. Your defense is improved. You have a backup goalie that you can rely on for at least 25-30 games a season, depending on how long he's here. So yeah, you know, there's nothing else that you can say that apart from if this team doesn't succeed or if this team doesn't move forward in the right direction that Mark Bergevin is envisioning, yeah, it's time to start pointing the finger at Claude, because there's no other excuse other than that. What other reason will there be?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's just maybe you need a different voice in that locker room. Maybe you need a different thought process. Maybe it's an internal candidate. Maybe it's an external one. But the point is that you need someone that can take this team over the top with what they have so far.
Yeah.
And whether it's Claude, whether it's Kirk, whether it's Ducharme, whether it's Bouchard, whoever it may be, it is important to see how it goes from now until, I guess, hopefully there isn't a skid, but if there's a skid, that's when you realize and that's when you have to make an important decision. Otherwise, it's another lost year.
The Boston Bruins, the Tampa Bay Lightning, the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Florida Panthers, the Montreal Canadiens, the Buffalo Sabres, the Ottawa Senators, and the Detroit Red Wings. Those, mm-hmm. That is the order of the Atlantic Division, how it's the standings ended at the end of last season. Mm-hmm. Montreal was fifth behind Toronto, behind Florida, Toronto, Tampa Bay, Boston.
Okay.
Ahead by 3 points on Buffalo, and Buffalo had two games in hand when the season ended.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this. As things stand right now, are you anticipating Montreal being better than Buffalo?
Absolutely.
Florida.
Yeah.
Toronto.
I'm indifferent with that one. Maybe.
Tampa Bay.
No, they're not going to be better than Tampa.
Boston.
Yes.
I said it when, Tyler Toffoli was signed, mm-hmm. and I went on Twitter declaring my love for Marc Bergevin. I said that the Montreal Canadiens were going to be a top three team in the Atlantic Division.
Yes.
I'm expecting them to finish ahead of Toronto.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
You still have Boston and Tampa ahead of them?
I think they're going to be close to, I think it could go Boston 2, Montreal 3, Montreal 2, Boston 3. Like,
okay.
In there. I think Tampa's the number one. And then I look at Boston, Montreal in and around the same area. Then I look at Toronto. Then I look at Florida and Buffalo. I think when I look at, especially specifically looking at Toronto, goaltending upgrade,
you're talking about Toronto?
What's the word I'm looking for? Toronto versus Montreal in goaltending.
Advantage Montreal.
Oh my God. Yes. Thank you. Advantage Montreal. Defense, advantage Montreal. Top six forwards, advantage Toronto. Power play, advantage Toronto. Depth forwards, advantage Montreal.
Okay. I'm not disagreeing with you on that.
In a game, it might be different, but over the stretch of a season, I think Montreal has a better chance of putting up more wins and more points than the Toronto Maple Leafs do.
Okay. Can I counter that?
No.
What I say is final.
Good. I'm glad you're finally understanding how this works around here.
I agree with you that Tampa Bay is going to finish first again. I mean, they're going to take a hit. They're not going to improve as, let's say, the Montreal Canadiens have, but they're still a very good hockey team to be still the first team in the Atlantic. I think Boston's going to finish fourth in the Atlantic. Primarily, from what I heard, Marchand and Pastrnak are going to miss the beginning of the season. And I think the most important thing, they have nobody to replace. They have not signed anybody to replace Tory Krug. I told you before, when Vancouver traded for Nate Schmidt, I was shocked that Boston did not go out and get Nate Schmidt. Perfect, in my opinion, it was a very ideal replacement for Krug. Good contract, are basically the same age, could do the exact same thing. If not, Schmidt was better defensively than Tory Krug. They have not re-signed Zdeno Chara, but even then, you're going to have a 43-year-old defenseman playing top six, even though he has proven that he can play quality minutes, especially on the penalty kill. Boston has two top two defensemen on the left side missing, plus those two major injuries. You know, they have the situation with Tuukka Rask. I don't know what the hell is going to happen with that. There's a lot of question marks going around Boston, and unless one of their draft picks, like Jacob Saboril, who they drafted a few years ago, breaks through and becomes that top pairing defenseman that a lot of people were expecting out of him, Boston's going to have a huge step backwards when it comes to this upcoming year. The only thing I'll say about Toronto is, and I think I'm going to, and that's why I have Toronto second and Montreal third. I think, and when you look at the team, they lost Johnsson, they lost Kapanen through via trades, obviously it was for cap purposes, but they sacrificed those two to improve significantly on defense. I think going into next year, having TJ Brody, Zach Bogosian, Justin Hall on your right side, you could have a lot worse, which they had last year. Mm-hmm. And I think we can both agree on that.
Absolutely.
I look at the left side to have Riley, Muzzin, and Travis Dermott. It's a pretty darn good left side. And that right side, in a way, complements what they have. It makes their defense somewhat better. It's a huge upgrade over what they had last year. So when you look at also the depth pickups they got, they're not going to be guys that are going to light the lamp night in and night out, but they're good, underrated, under the radar, cheap contract guys. You know, Joe Thornton, as we'll talk about it later. I mean, I'm not sitting here and saying Toronto's going to win the cup, but you know, Joe Thornton's not a bad signing for the league minimum. Wayne Simmonds was a good signing for that bottom six. I think Jimmy Vesey was a quality under the radar signing, a guy that can still put up 10 to 12 goals mm-hmm. on your bottom six. Joey Anderson, quality young guy. You don't know what to expect out of him. The only thing with Toronto, they're going to rely. Yeah, but they're going to rely a lot, and they have to, on Matthews, Marner, Tavares, and Nylander. That's where their offense is going to come from, because they don't have, and occasionally as Zach Hyman, because if one of those four guys, or if all four guys at the same time are missing their mark and are struggling, I'm not relying on Alex Kerfoot to put up points. I'm not relying on Zach Hyman to put up points. You might get a surprise here and there, maybe from a Nick Robertson when it comes to offensively, but that's the issue with Toronto. They have the advantage of having four top line talents, because that's what I think they are. And if they don't produce, and if they don't play based off what we've seen, and they don't have that production that they have year in and year out, Toronto's fucked.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm saying Toronto, like, I'm not saying Toronto's better than Montreal. I'm saying Toronto slightly edges Montreal when it comes to the standings in the division. But what Montreal has done this offseason has closed the gap on those teams. I think they've closed the gap on Tampa. I think they've closed the gap on Toronto, even though they beat Toronto all three or four times last year. I think in terms of games, in terms of how they produce outside of those games against Toronto, they've improved significantly. And it's now that gap has closed a good amount when it comes to that top four. So regardless of how it ends up, I think Tampa, Toronto, Montreal with Boston as the fourth team, it will probably be their, in my opinion, the realistic turnout if they play in the Atlantic, if there's an Atlantic division to even begin with.
Interesting.
Try to give you as much descriptive details as possible for every... Because that's what, because and again, Montreal doesn't have a game breaker like Matthews. They could have, maybe Suzuki and Kokaniemi develop into that. I don't know, but I doubt it. You know, Toronto has that benefit to have Matthews on their team where he can score a goal from literally anywhere on the ice, which is fantastic. But you know, it's the reality of it. Mm-hmm. And I give credit to Marc Bergevin for, in a way, improving his team not only for this year but for the next few years, because it's also going to correlate to when his highly rated prospects come through. But for the time being, I think it's going to be a closer battle between Tampa, Toronto, Montreal, Boston. It's going to be very, very close. And it could honestly go either way. Montreal could end up finishing first in the Atlantic, and I'll be honest, and I wouldn't even be surprised.
I would be.
No, I wouldn't be.
I wouldn't be
surprised. You would be surprised if Montreal finishes first?
Yes.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, we've said it before. Like, it really depends. Like, if Carey Price is on his game, if Jake Allen produces incredibly well. Like if Jake Allen produced the way he did last year, I can make an argument and say Montreal can be the first place team next year.
Yeah. No.
Okay. That's fine.
What are your thoughts on the possible All-Canadian Conference?
Ooh, I would be so excited for that.
Yeah.
I would be so excited for that to see Connor McDavid score 5 goals but still lose 7-6. That would be they haven't signed a goalie, have they?
Yeah, they brought Mike Smith back.
Oh, Jesus. Edmonton.
Man. They were in on they thought they were getting Jacob Markstrom.
Yeah, so did I.
No, they really thought they were getting Jacob Markstrom.
No, I'm referring to like, yeah, I thought they were gonna get him too.
Markstrom got 6 years from Calgary.
Yeah.
I think the offer from Edmonton was 5.
Jeez. Okay. Yeah. I would have given them that 6th year.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I'd be very excited for an All-Canadian Conference. I think all Canadian teams are becoming more and more competitive. I even give props to your Ottawa Senators. I think they've improved when it comes to. I saw Frank Saravalli say that they had the best offseason. I think that's a little bit overboard right there. I think they had a good offseason. I don't think it was the best offseason in the NHL. Be that as it may, though, they got a lot more competitive, which is. I think for your standards, when you want to watch them with who does, it's not going to be Chris Cuthbert anymore. Who's it going to be doing the commentary?
Ottawa's been lucky in the sense that they've gotten a lot of Chris Cuthbert and Gordon Miller, where Montreal gets Brian Mudrick.
Hits the bar.
everything's a bar. It's never a post. Did you ever notice that with Brian?
Yeah.
I have my issues with him, but we won't get into that. But yeah, no, I don't know. I still can't believe Chris Cuthbert went to Sportsnet.
Well, yeah, what happens when there's an open checkbook, right?
Yeah, that's what happens when a network realizes they are in drastic need, desperate need of talent.
Well, listen, to have Chris Cuthbert as your number two guy. I heard him over the.
Oh yeah, well he's so much better than Jim Houston. I'll tell you that for true.
Oh, everyone's better than Jim Houston, man.
I know.
And he still put him as the guy to call the Stanley Cup final. Jesus.
Yeah.
I'd rather have Chris Cuthbert with Louis DeBrusque. Louis DeBrusque is good too.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, Josh.
Go for it.
How would you if there is an All Canadian Conference? Where are the Montreal Canadiens ranked in terms of, I guess, teams in this conference when you compare them to every other team in Canada?
Okay, so Ottawa's last.
Yeah.
Without
question.
God, that's the West. A lot of Canadian teams got better this summer.
Yeah. It's tough.
I would probably put... Edmonton at the top.
Okay.
Just because...
Just trying not to get any haters.
No, I'm trying. Like I'm like trying to go off the top of my head here, and
you want me to tell you the teams? You want me to write them down for you?
Well, no, I know who the teams are. like I look at like I would say. Okay, Calgary got better. Oh, Christ, I think Calgary could even be the number one team.
I have Calgary as number one.
Yeah, I think I would do that. I think I would do Calgary.
Okay.
I think I would do I think I would do Montreal.
Second?
Yeah.
Okay. Want to get some feedback on that one after.
I would. Okay. Here's, yeah. I would Calgary, Montreal, Edmonton, Vancouver, Winnipeg. No, sorry. I forgot Toronto. Calgary, Montreal, Toronto, Vancouver, Winnipeg, Ottawa. Is that all of them?
Toronto, Vancouver.
I forgot Edmonton. Okay. Are you writing this down?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Calgary, Montreal, Toronto, Edmonton, yeah. Vancouver, Winnipeg, Ottawa.
So Calgary, Toronto, Edmonton, Vancouver, Winnipeg, Ottawa?
Well, Calgary, Montreal.
Yeah, Calgary, Montreal, Toronto, Edmonton, Vancouver, Winnipeg, Ottawa.
Yeah.
Is that the ranking you want?
Yeah.
Okay. You're going to have to explain that now. Start with Calgary.
I think one of the biggest things that was missing in Calgary was reliable netminding.
Mm-hmm.
They've addressed it.
Fair enough. Yeah, that's.
I think that's a very good team. That's a very as close to a complete hockey team as we're going to see, I think.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I even like the replacing Travis Hamonic with Chris Tanev. I think that was a
good. I think that's an upgrade. I think that's an upgrade.
Yeah, it's an upgrade. They're still a good team defensively. They have a lot of good young defensemen. Do they have, they're the ones with Yusuf Alamaki, right? Mm-hmm. If I'm not mistaken. Yeah, Alamaki, Anderson.
Rasmus Anderson.
Oliver Chillington.
Oliver Chillington. There's good Hanifin. Players. Hello.
Jesus.
No, there's good young players there. There's good players. I think Markstrom really helps solidify their goaltending. I think Johnny Gaudreau is going to have a bounce back year. Monahan's good. Kachuk is just absolutely unbelievable. Lindholm's playing good for that team. Derek Ryan's been really good for that team.
Backlund.
Michael Backlund. Yeah, I think that team is, if they can stay, of course, this is all depending on if they can stay healthy, if teams can stay healthy. But I think Calgary is in really good position to make some noise next year.
Okay, Montreal?
The most improved team in the league, I think.
Okay, fair enough. Toronto?
And I look at it, I think they have the best goaltender in Canada in terms of this division, right? They advantage Montreal goaltending. I think the defense is going to be seriously underrated. Big guys that not a lot of – you're not. It's going to be very difficult to get into the dirty areas in front of Carey Price.
Yeah.
They're going to be able to box out in front of Carey Price, make it that much easier for the goaltender. Jeff Petrie continues to play fantastically well. Weber is still at that level for now. Sherratt's playing good. I like the addition of Edmondson. He's going to bring sandpaper grit to that left side too. Experience. I'm looking forward to seeing what Romanov can do. And then I look at it at forward. Lambros, they're three lines deep of quality players. Okay. And it's not like they have that. They don't have any superstars. But they have, I could make an argument that every player in their top nine, if not top 10, are top six forwards.
Fair enough. Yeah.
On on most teams.
Yeah. You're right. Toronto. Like, why Toronto over Edmonton? Goaltending?
Yeah. I prefer Freddie Anderson over the combination of Mike Smith's remains and Mikko Koskinen.
Okay, that's fair enough.
That's the only place I give. That's the only reason. And I do think that they're deeper at forward in Toronto. Like, they're a deeper team in Toronto.
That's true. Okay, so we spoke Edmonton. Vancouver. Okay.
Yeah, I think you know what? I think Vancouver is going to regret losing Toffoli.
Okay.
The reason they made that addition, that addition at the trade deadline, they were missing a top six forward.
Mm-hmm.
They have not replaced that.
No.
I think the loss of Markstrom. Yes, they have Thatcher Demko, but Thatcher Demko is still relatively young.
Mm-hmm.
Braden Holtby, fine goaltending, but let's look at what he's done in Washington the last few years. Hasn't been great.
Yeah.
Even going back to when Barry Trotz was there and they were playing fantastic defensively, his numbers were not good.
No. You're right.
So that goaltending tandem, I have a lot of faith. I really like Thatcher Demko as a young goaltender, but he is a young goaltender.
Mm-hmm.
He's shown us that he can win hockey games, but can he do it as the number one uncontested starter? Because I really don't think you could give the number one job to Braden Holtby. I think Braden Holtby is what he is now. He could play in front of one of the best defensive teams in the world, and he's still going to let in that one goal where you're going to be like, really?
Mm-hmm.
And that one goal can be a backbreaker. Look, there's no arguing with Elias Pettersson. There's no arguing with Quinn Hughes. There's no arguing with Brock Besser, JT Miller. But apart from that, they've got some good pieces, but they're missing some help in the top six. And look, the loss of Chris Tanev is really going to hurt them. The loss of Troy Stetcher is really going to hurt them.
They didn't address the right side.
They lost some players there on the defense on defense that were simply not replaced with same level or better talent. Which is what we've seen in Toronto, Montreal, and Edmonton and Calgary. I mean,
mm-hmm.
So I think look, Vancouver will be a playoff team. I'm still unsure about how the standings are going to work with division wise and all that, because it's going to be such a different thing. But if they're not making some crazy thing out of this, I think Vancouver will make the playoffs, but it's not going to be, I mean, I look at it easy. Like last year, like they had, 36, 27 and six. That's nothing. That's a good record. That's a decent record in 69 games.
Mm-hmm.
But they had trouble scoring goals, 228 goals scored.
Mm-hmm.
They gave up a lot of goals, 217. Like, their defense did not get better. Yes, another year of Quinn Hughes, he's going to be that much better. But ask the Ottawa Senators and Erik Karlsson. You can't do it with just one defenseman.
No, you're right. And like we spoke about it before, but bringing in Nate Schmidt was a quality pickup. It solidifies your left side if you really want for the next 4 or 5 years, whatever how long Schmidt's contract is. But to me, they're still having question marks. When is Olli Juolovi going to come through? That's a big question. Also,
their right-handed shot D-men last year, the top four was Tanev and Myers.
Tyler Myers, Myers, played you well.
You added Schmidt. Tyler Myers played well. Yeah, you added Schmidt. So but again, it's the same thing that happened in Montreal for years: is you're addition by subtracting.
Yeah,
it should have been. You keep Tanev or you replace Tanev on the right side with an equal talent or better, and you add
Nate Schmidt.
A player like Nate Schmidt, and that would make your team that much better. But I look at it as Nate Schmidt and Chris Tanev. That's one for one kind of thing, and you're still in a position where now, and on top of it, you've lost Stetcher. Mm-hmm. You've lost some players, and I still I think that's a team that really needs Jake Virtanen to develop into a top six forward. I don't think he's going to.
No.
And the loss of Tyler Toffoli is really going to hurt them, or that type of player, because they haven't replaced their top six forward group yet.
You instantly lose a 20 goal guy, mm-hmm. and he's a guy who's done it year in and year out, and
that puts that much more pressure on a guy like Virtanen, on a guy like Adam Gaudette.
More pressure on Brock Besser, even though he's going to perform.
But even then, Brock Besser isn't a 35 to 40 goal scorer, right? He's 25 to 30 in a good year.
I think with Besser, he's been frequently injured, so we don't really know what his ceiling is. I think he could hit 30 goals with Pettersson, but I think the bigger question.
But my point is, like, he's not a 40 goal scorer that you can you have a 40 goal scorer, and you lost a 20, but maybe you're going to have a guy that was going to chip in like 15 and it's going to even out in that sense. He's not. He's a guy that's going to score you 30 goals, and you still need a guy that's going to score you 20 goals on top of it. JT Miller's fitting great there, but you can't just have, like, I look at it as Horvat, Miller, Pettersson, and
Besser.
You're missing two top six forwards.
Yeah. Consistent
established top six forwards.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to hurt them.
I'm just going to just go on a tangent here for 1 second, but I look at a team like Colorado, and we were talking about that they have to be a lot more than just when it comes to offense, that Landeskog, MacKinnon, and Rantanen line. Last year they brought in Kadri to be the second line center. They had Burakovsky develop. I think they brought him a couple of years prior or so. It was the year Washington won.
Burakovsky was last year. Burakovsky came in last year.
Was it Burakovsky? No, Burakovsky was 2 years ago because it was right after Washington won the cup.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Either way, like Kadri, Burakovsky, this year they went out and got Brunsod.
Yep.
Like when you look at that top six now, you're looking at it and saying, those are two very, very good, yep, consistent lines, but it also pushes guys like Confer, Tyson Jost into their positions of being top nine guys instead, yep, of being top six guys and putting them in a position where they could actually not achieve expectations. Be that as it may, yeah, okay, I understand that with Vancouver. I'm very I'm shocked that you put Winnipeg as the second to last team over Vancouver.
I'm sorry.
Under Vancouver.
I'm sorry. Paul Stastny doesn't do much for me as a second line center.
Okay.
They did not improve their defense.
Okay.
I think they're still going to struggle. I think that's a good team in that sense, but they're missing some key pieces. Kevin Cheveldayoff has been a good general manager. I've liked him, but they're going to struggle down the middle. They need a second line center. Paul Stastny is not that guy anymore, I don't think.
The thing is when I compare both teams, I think Winnipeg has an advantage in net. I think Connor Hellebuyck, I think, proved it this year, yeah, with a crappy defense.
Yeah, but I think the defense is better in Vancouver.
That's fine. I'm not comparing. I agree with you on defense, but when I look at their scoring depth, Winnipeg has a lot more depth in scoring than Vancouver does.
Yeah.
And that to me is the difference maker. You know, to have Scheifele, Laine, Nikolai Ehlers just in your top six.
Yeah.
And then you're bringing in guys like, you know, you don't know, a Jack Roslovich, a Jansen Harkins, an Andrew Kopp. They drafted Cole Perfetti. You don't know if he's going to break out this year. You don't know.
You might be right. I still have more questions in Winnipeg than I do in Vancouver.
And I'll throw in the equation that, you know what, Paul Stastny is still a reliable point getter. He's still a productive offensive guy. I'm not saying he's going to put up 60 points, well, but
yeah, but that's what you're going to need a guy that's going to put up 50 at least. And I don't think
he's fair enough
as in the two hole.
That's fair enough. But I agree. Defense is still a concern.
I look at the way Paul Maurice likes to coach. Mm-hmm. He relies on a balanced attack, especially in the top six. You need that second line center to take pressure off of Mark Scheifele, and True. They need the defense. I'm sorry, they still haven't replaced Trouba, Byfuglien, or Myers.
Well, they have Pionk, if I'm not mistaken. But
okay, so they've replaced, like, they, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, basically,
like they went from having three to having one, and mm-hmm. Byfuglien, Myers, and Trouba are all better than Pionk.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. I mean, I think they're relying a lot on their younger defensemen.
And you know what? Their young guys might develop really quickly and prove me wrong, but until I've seen it, I can't bank on it.
Yeah, listen.
And that's why. And look, I'm not saying that they're very far behind Vancouver. Honestly, it could be right. They're neck and neck.
In essence, I can even make the argument that the top six teams that we listed could all
absolutely.
In any way, shape, or form, can all make the playoffs.
Yeah, it's not like it's the Ottawa Senators. You don't even have to ask me. I don't think.
Yeah, Ottawa, it's not even close. But no, I think, listen, the reality is on defense, Winnipeg is still relying on Josh Morrissey and Neil Pionk to continue that production that they had this past season.
Yeah.
To take this team to keep this team competitive defensively.
And we saw how much they struggled on a night in and night out basis defensively. Not that they were terrible. Oh, yeah,
of course.
But It's just not enough. It's just they need more.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I mean, I don't need to talk about Ottawa because I think, listen, but self-explanatory.
Not as much of a dumpster fire as it was last season.
No, and I think Ottawa is heading towards a direction where you're going to start seeing this team become a lot more competitive in about 3 to 5 years. That's what I think the window is.
Be a lot quicker than that.
Well, whatever the case may be, like,
I think they're gonna.
Within three years, they're gonna be competitive.
Not this coming season, but the following one, I think you're gonna see them be competitive for a playoff spot.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're hoping, but I think the biggest thing is just like in every team, you're hoping that these top guys come out and
for sure, start, absolutely. But yeah. I look at it at the end of the year. I think you're getting Shane Pinto, Jacob Bernard Docker leaving, and Jake Sanderson leaving UND.
Mm-hmm.
I think all three of them are going to have a legit chance of making the roster. I think Timmy Stützle is going to play for the is going to play this season. Brady Tkachuk is going to be that much better. Things are going to start putting themselves into pieces here. Things are going to start fitting in, and I think I think they're going to benefit from having one other high draft pick in the upcoming in the 2021 draft. And then that following season that they are going to be, I'm not saying they're going to make the playoffs, but I think they're going to be competitive in the playoff hunt.
That's fair enough. Okay.
I mean, you know Ottawa better than I do, so I'm just going on.
I'm also speaking as a fan, so what the hell do
I know? That's true.
All right. One little thing before we move on. Friendly little reminder to all of our listeners out there. Make sure that you follow the podcast on Twitter at DoubleMinerHP. We'd also like to invite you to send us your suggestions for future show topics, questions, comments, or predictions by either tweeting at us or sending us a DM. Those are open on the Double Minor Hockey Podcast Twitter account. Lambros and I would be more than happy to talk about anything hockey related that you might have in mind. And it would also make our jobs of preparing shows that much easier. And if you've missed an episode of the podcast and you're not sure where to find us, or if whatever, if you have anything that you want to check out, you can check out bellyupsports.com/double-minor-hockey-podcast to catch up on any episode that you might have missed in the past. All right, let's do this really quickly. Lightning round here, Lambros. The Arizona, I almost said Cardinals, the Arizona Coyotes renounced the rights to draft pick Mitchell Miller. Shocking
good decision. Not shocking. Exactly. Good on them.
And you know what? I don't want to give them too much credit because they seemed like when this stuff first started coming out, they seemed like they were ready to stand by their player. And then they got absolutely destroyed in the court of public opinion. And that's when they started backing down. But regardless, the right decision was made in the end. And that's where we're going to go from here. Yeah, absolutely. Right decision. And you know what? If anybody is not sure what the hell we're talking about and you've been living under a rock, Lambros, I'm making an executive decision here that we are not going to even come close to discussing the garbage that is what went on with Mitchell Miller. So if you're that much interested, you can just search Mitchell Miller on Twitter and you'll find everything you need to figure out. But let's just say that
it's not good. Viewer discretion is advised.
Not good.
It's not something that you want to be accused
also of. Also came out, I think today, that he has been kicked out of the UND hockey program.
Yes. Yep.
So good on that. There's no, you know what? All I'm going to say on this is there is absolutely no place for a sad excuse for a human being like that in the hockey world.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Good riddance. Exactly. Especially with everything going on in the world right now. Like, no. And nobody's got time for that. Mm-hmm. Joe Thornton made the executive decision that he wants to end his career with zero rings, so he signs a one-year deal for the league minimum in Toronto.
I've said it before. I mean, I don't expect Toronto to win the Stanley Cup. But
I look at it like this. I'm sorry. I look at it Toronto. Like, you already have Jason Spezza. Why do you need another old former star that's going to come in and play fourth line minutes for you?
Because they're trying to win the 2012 Cup. That's why. Because they're going to sign. I heard they're interested in signing Brian Gionta and Thomas Cabrera to make a triumphant return to the team.
Might as well ask Andrew Raycroft if he's willing to come back too.
Oh, Raycroft. trade it for Tuukka Rask. Just letting you know, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, you know what? This is also the team that traded picks that became Dougie Tyler Hamilton and Tyler Seguin for Phil Kessel. So.
Okay, the only thing I'll say about that, Phil Kessel gave them some pretty good seasons.
Absolutely.
That's the only difference.
Before Austin Matthews came along, though, Lambros, when was the last time they had a number one center? Matt Sundin in his prime. And then a number one defenseman?
Thomas Cabrera? Would you consider Thomas Cabrera? Yeah, I would.
Dougie Hamilton's a lot better than Thomas Cabrera.
No, you're absolutely right. I'm saying
he Thomas Cabrera was still a very...
He was their Markov.
Anything else for Thornton?
Well, wish him luck. I mean, whatever.
Good luck with that. Idiot.
And I'll do the last one. This is, again, I like to do Ottawa notes because it gives Josh a chance to speak his mind on the team. Ottawa signed former Montreal Canadian third overall pick in 2012, Alex Galchenyuk, to a one-year deal. I think it was worth like a little bit over $1 million. I've said it to you before. It's a good deal. It's a proven deal for him. It's basically Ottawa low risk, high reward possibility for him. What are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. I mean, Alex Galchenyuk, good I think it's going to be a good option. I think it's a good decision for him. He's going to be playing in a no pressure environment. You're not expected to make the playoffs. Go out there, play some hockey, produce offensively. I think if they see him as a center in Ottawa. And if they do, I've told this to you off air. I would start him in training camp between Evgeny Dadonov and which I still sometimes forget that Evgeny Dadonov is a member of the Ottawa Senators, but I would start him as the number one center between Brady Tkachuk and Evgeny Dadonov, and see if those three are able to form chemistry. And if that can work, I think Alex Galchenyuk would be on pace for a very good season. And you're absolutely right. This is a kind of rejuvenating option for a career year for him. This is a make it or break it kind of thing. It's one of those, what type of hockey player are you going to be in the National Hockey League? And I think it has it is one of those high upside, low downside kind of things, right? He costs you nothing on the cap almost. And if it doesn't work out, he's gone, and it doesn't cost you anything, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And if it does work out, then all the better, all the better. And I wish him, and you know what? I wish him all the best. I've been a fan of Alex Galchenyuk since he was drafted in the National Hockey League. I always thought he got the raw end of a deal. I always thought he got shafted in Montreal. And I think he still has, I'll be very honest with you. I still don't think he's recovered from being traded out of Montreal. I think he was miserable in Arizona. I think they had a really hard time finding something that fit for him in Pittsburgh. And I think as of late in Minnesota, I think he had a fairly decent end to the season in Minnesota.
I'm going to go check that out. Give me 1 second.
Like, I'm fairly decent. I'm not talking about point per game here, but
no, but I think
this has the potential to work out for him, and I wish him all the best.
Well, he put up 7 points in 14 games. It's not terrible.
Yeah, it's not bad. And on a not great Minnesota team.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he, listen, for the most part of his career, he was always about a 40 to 50 point guy. You know, he produces. He's not a guy that's going to,
he's going to get his power play minutes. He's going to get his power play touches. Yeah. And I think realistically, I think there's a very good chance that he gets back to his 40 to 50 point player.
And if he does that, it's all the better for the Montreal Canadiens, for the Ottawa Senators.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Anything else you wanted to cover on the show? Honestly, I think that does it for me.
Does it for me too. I mean, we're obviously wrapping up, I think, the season for now, and we're going to give ourselves a break until we find any new information. Like Josh said, unless something major happens, like Sidney Crosby's being traded to the Montreal Canadiens, we're not going to come back on the air for a little while.
Yeah, we're going to take a little bit of a break. But before I get out of here, just a quick little reminder: if you are listening to us on Apple Podcasts, we would greatly appreciate it if you could leave us a rating and a review. This will help other Habs fans find the podcast, and it will help us tune the show to what you guys like to hear. You can also find a link to a feedback form in the episode description below. On behalf of myself and Lambros, I want to say a very big thank you for all of you guys for tuning in, for lending us your ears on a basically weekly basis. Lambros and I have always said that one of the things we love doing the most is just sitting down and talking hockey, doing it with microphones in front of us and having you guys participate in the conversation just makes it that much better. And so thank you very much for listening, for joining us for the ride. We hope you enjoy it as much as we do. We're going to take a good little well-deserved break, I'd like to think. Not bad for our first season of the podcast.
Not bad at all.
Keep going up from here, but unless something major breaks, we will be back in and around the beginning of training camps, talking hockey and getting ready for the next season of the National Hockey League. And on that note, guys, enjoy your fall, enjoy the beginning of winter. Please stay safe. You know, just, I know it's hard, and I know, and I feel like I'm talking to my students. Like, this conversation I have on a weekly basis with them. I know, you know what? It's not easy for anybody with what we're living on, with what we're living in the world right now. I've constantly told people that, you know, human beings are not bred to and not designed to be antisocial and locked up and quarantined and isolated. I know it's difficult for everybody. But just think of all the pain, all the hard times that we're living right now are worth it, because at the end of the day, we're trying to keep everybody safe. So we all have a very small part to play in a very big role. So just do it for me, do it for Lambros, do it for your neighbors, do it for your grandparents, and do it for society in general, and just be safe out there, everyone.
Well said, Josh.
No, you know, I do what I can.
Just take the compliment. Jesus.
All right, buddy. That's good. That's a wrap on season one of the podcast. Again, thanks everyone for listening. We'll be back at the start of training camp.
Have a good night, everyone.